Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 11th of August. Coming to you from the road, a short and simple hello for this edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Wanted to just kind of say hi and check in, see how you are, and give you a short little bit. I was hoping we were going to get the schedule out by now, and we do kind of our regularly scheduled podcast. I did it from the road last year, and do it again. But that has not happened. Some of the early schedules out, we'll touch on that. Think about some of the storylines coming up for what we'll be focused most on about the Jazz. I think there's some interesting things there where we may not really get answers right away, and we'll talk about that on the show today. It's brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the number one place for you to get your tickets to any upcoming event. Maybe you're going to go do something crazy like travel somewhere, then put it in, put a ticket alert in. Here's how it works. Download the SeatGeek app. Very simple. Then, first thing you should do is go to the settings tab, enter in the promo code LOJAZZ. That's LOJAZZ. You'll get $20 back after your first purchase. Why use SeatGeek? One is they've got all of the tickets from all around the area and beyond in one place for you, so you don't have to search. And number two for you that's out there is that they give a ticket score. So if you don't know the arena, you don't know where it is, you can find out which tickets are the best, which will give you the best, basically the best value, best angle. Maybe you want to buy really expensive tickets, then you can look, or you can put a price, see your price alert, but you can do some sorting. It's really cool. It's great. So make sure you get the SeatGeek app, download it, then put in the promo code LOJAZZ, and the final thing is once you get it, your tickets will be secured and on your mobile device there for you. So that's why you should use SeatGeek. Great app. Download it. Get it. We're good. All right, let's go on with the show. Opening week schedule of the NBA got released, and Christmas Day schedule got released, and we aren't involved, which is not a big surprise. I do think, and I hate to just kind of continually hark back on this, but a lot of people are just kind of, you know, overwhelmed, and when Gordon decided to leave, and a feeling of this gut punch to the Jazz. And the whole time I've tried to relay the point of view that I think Gordon, while we put multiple things on our teeter-totter and weighed them all out, I think Gordon was a very singular decision. He'd even made the comment at some point about, you know what, you're only there for 6 months and you're there to play basketball. You can live somewhere else. I don't think it was a slight at Utah. What I think it was all about, and I've thought this the whole time, was about Gordon's legacy and something that's been very, very important to him. It was so important to get that max contract along the way when he was coming in that first free agency, because I think it changed who he was and who his image was in the league. And in turn, I think he looked at how one of the things I think was a really moving piece for him was how often he's going to get national television recognition. You know, the other one is All-Star, right? We've talked about that. I mean, there's a real chance he's going to be a 7- or 8-time All-Star in the Eastern Conference, become a 9-time All-Star, become a Hall of Famer, just because he moved teams. If Mitch Richmond's a Hall of Famer, that makes him one. But I think most immediately was this idea of being on the spotlight of the league, and he got it. The first game of the NBA season will be Boston at Cleveland, and the headline will be All-Star free agent Gordon Hayward signs with the Celtics. Are they ready to take on the Cavaliers? And that will be October 17th headline. And then he's on ABC at 5:30 Eastern on Christmas Day. And there's just not a lot the Jazz could have done to combat that. And I think it was a huge part of this equation, and it put him as one of the primary players in the league that's going to be the most talked about. And when you think of the dearth of stars in the Eastern Conference, it becomes even more shown that way. And I don't know that, you know, maybe we take that Minnesota spot on Wednesday, October 18th, and that Minnesota spot on Christmas Day against the Lakers if Gordon stays. But I don't know that, and I'm not convinced of that to be true. And that, I think, was just a huge part of his decision. And it's the, so it's not, I've heard some people, you know, he did it because he's mad at Dennis Lindsay for the contract negotiation with Charlotte. He did it because of, you know, Brad Stevens. I'm sure that, as I've said the whole time with Brad Stevens, that's a comfort zone that means that he's not worried about things. It's a soft landing. But the main reason to me that Gordon made the decision he did was exactly what came out yesterday. He's the first game of the year on television. He's on Christmas Day. He's probably going to get 11 to 15 national television games. Hard to turn that down if what's most important to you in that sense is your placement in the league, your legacy. And I, as I've said this whole time, it's what I think is going on with Kyrie. I wonder what will happen with Klay Thompson. I don't think there's anything wrong with these guys wanting to have their own personal legacy, have better standing over the long term, how they're remembered in the league. Frankly, the league is rewarding James Harden and Russell Westbrook more than it's rewarding Steph Curry, LeBron James, and Kevin Durant in awards. And that's, guys, you know, that's your personal legacy that you're getting. So Boston opens against Cleveland, Houston against Golden State, and then the expectation is that I think most of the league will then start on the 7th, 18th. We'll get our schedule here at some point. Philadelphia and the Wizards, they're highlighting the 76ers. Minnesota and the Spurs, they're highlighting on Wednesday. The Knicks, for whatever reason, are highlighted against Oklahoma City, which is a very interesting team. The Clippers and Lakers on the 19th. Cavaliers, Bucks, Warriors, Pelicans. So you kind of see where the league is. And then the 10 Christmas Day teams are the 76ers and Knicks again. The Cavaliers and the Warriors. The Wizards and the Celtics. The Rockets and the Thunder. And the Timberwolves and the Lakers. So those are the highlight teams from the NBA standpoint this upcoming season, and not a big surprise on any of those. I thought Andy Bailey did an interesting piece the other day. Andy does some good work. He's a great Twitter follow. I figure most of you probably do follow him, where he did, and it was similar, I think, with some simplicity, and I don't mean that. I think Pelton's system is incredible, and there's maybe some basic simplicity to what Andy did, which is he took the primary players and did win over replacement level to kind of figure out where everyone ranked. And again, the Jazz came up as 8th in the Western Conference. So that's continually fighting the Pelicans, fighting the Blazers for playoff spots. I think that's where and then if any injuries happen above us, then it changes. But most people are kind of viewing that Denver above the Jazz with their addition to Millsap. We'll see whether that holds, but that's, you know, certainly a great addition. There are obviously Oklahoma City, Houston, San Antonio, the Warriors. People see the Clippers there as well. I think that'll be interesting to see how that holds with the injury possibility to Blake and already the injury to Gallinari and just a new mix there. I'm not as convinced that this Clipper, while it has a star power and can score, which will be our question mark, I'm not as convinced entirely that that team is a better team than we are. So I feel like we're probably going to have 6 through 10 in this kind of awesome battle, and it's going to be a super fun year. And when the schedule comes out, it'll be really interesting to see. And some of the little subtle things in the schedule, when we get it, who you play 3 times instead of 4, could be the difference of a game or two. And I think 6 through 10 in the Western Conference is going to be, you know, probably a 3-game swing unless somebody gets really hot. The assumption, Minnesota, Oklahoma City, Houston, San Antonio, the Warriors, just at a different level than everybody else. From a Jazz standpoint, one of the thoughts I've had recently was, you know, what are the storyline? Here we sit on August 11th. The guys will all be in town probably by September 11th. We'll be close to the regular season now in 10 weeks, maybe even just 9. And what are those storylines? And then the trick on the storylines is, when will they be answered? And one of the things that kind of has jumped out to me is, I think if you look at our biggest storylines for the upcoming season, not a lot of them are going to be answered immediately. We'll probably try to answer them immediately because we do that. But the first one that we'll probably have somewhat of an answer to is whether or not Derek Favors is healthy and returning to form. That would be the first storyline that I think hopefully clicks in positively. The next set of storylines, I don't know when we have it, is Rodney Hood bigger, stronger, ready to take the load of the offensive burden on a night-in and night-out basis. That we probably don't know well until mid-December, maybe January. Will Ricky Rubio alter the style of play of the Utah Jazz and change who they are? Is Rubio, you know, and Rubio's advanced metrics that have always pointed him to being such an incredibly positive player, do they show, do we see evidence of that that is helping the Jazz win games kind of in a fashion where everyone's like, what just happened? We'll probably, that's again, probably December, January to get some sort of a grip on that. Donovan Mitchell and the excitement we have around him is probably a January, February, unless it's just a, you know, some of these guys, I'll never forget. I think it was our first or second preseason game a few years ago, and we were at the Staples Center. John Ireland, great friend and radio voice of the Lakers, comes up to me and is like, "Have you seen Dame Lillard?" And I was like, "Yeah, I saw him at Weber." He's like, "No, he's incredible." Like, it was one preseason game in, and he's like, "I saw him last night. He's incredible. It's real." So unless something, you know, of that magnitude happens, the same thing kind of happened with Russell in Seattle in his rookie year. You just kind of knew right away what was happening, that there was something special taking place. But I would suspect later, the two storylines that I think will have the most traction early and give us the most talk and probably give us a resolution. One is Rodney Hood's extension and what decisions each side make on that. It's an almost impossible negotiation unless one of two things, unless the Jazz just play this incredible risk that they're certain that Rodney, who's been really a distinctly, statistically average player in his career, is ready to make some mammoth jump and they're just going to pay him like that, which seems really, really unlikely that he would do anything, that you would do that. And then the second one would be that Rodney Hood decides that security for he and his family and his baby is more important than the potential mammoth payday that he might get down the road. And if for some reason he decides that, or he reads the landscape of the marketplace, which is going to be ugly for restricted free agents, and decides, you know what, I'll take what I can get. And if I have an incredible year that's real, then it will be real in 3 years and I'll get my max contract, huge deal there. I don't know how I could ever sit across the table and advise somebody to bypass the possibility of, you know, some enormous $20 million. But I think there's a really good argument to, if Rodney can find a number he's comfortable with, he doesn't feel as though he took too much of a discount, just to get that security, maybe shorten the deal up and get an out a little bit along the way. But with his injury history, and also I just go back to a quote Rodney gave me once where I asked him if he was an actor in a movie, whether he'd want to be an action figure, a comedian, or what he wanted to be. And his answer was he wanted to be an extra. And maybe there's, maybe it's best for Rodney if he decides that he wants to be, you know, not have that pressure of playing as a free agent and also that burden of knowing that your entire, you know, family is relying on that, that there's a real freedom he could maybe play with and probably get a pretty good deal, right? Where, you know, instead of getting 18 to 20 million, he's probably getting something that's still a nine-digit contract, and I'm not sure that anyone's complaining about that. So those two, the Favors and the Hood storyline, are probably the two that come first. And as I've said before, I think there's this incredible level of discovery in our four guards, you know, Exum, Rubio, Hood, Mitchell, that will tell us an awful lot about what's going to happen in our season, and it's how we're going to surprise if we do. But those storylines, I believe, will take us some time before we get the answer on where we stand. So just wanted to check in, say hello. I guess we'll get the schedule. Either it'll sneak out later today, which it seems like we're close, right, with all these releases, or it'll come out sometime next week is kind of the murmur and rumors that are floating around, and we'll talk about it then. That'll make us feel a little bit closer. We're about 9 weeks away from opening day. We're guys come into camp or come into the OTAs in about 3 or 4 weeks. We're Probably media day is probably 6 weeks away. It's getting closer. It's getting closer. Today's sponsor is SeatGeek, brought to you, bringing you today's show. Make sure you download with the promo code LOJAZZ. Thanks very much for tuning in to Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Locked On NBA with David Thorpe was a really fun conversation I did last week about different styles of play teams will play this year. It's a good one. Make sure you grab onto that as well. Have a good day.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.